Starti de Toroe, Manchester, Reputa Steamboat.
Morning. Good Chodesh. Start off with a little joke once heard. Once a group of prisoners. Can you turn it on? It was once a group of prisoners that were stuck in prison for a long time, so they naturally got very bored. So they shared with each other all the jokes that they knew. But with time, they already knew each other's jokes. So somebody would start off with a word and say there was once, and somebody would say, you're going to say that joke. And somebody else start off another one and say that. So eventually they came to a new system where somebody would just say a number. And somebody would say number 17, and everybody would laugh because they would remember the 17th. Number 82, would all laugh. One day a prisoner comes in and he says number 26, and nobody laughs. He said, what happened? He said, it's not the joke. It's the way you say it. Remember, sometimes I've spoken, we've had this chus to speak here many times with Erev Shabbos, to speak about the parsha. And sometimes I wonder, what exactly am I trying to oif to? What are we trying to do here? That those who will say that the tellers of this Friday morning started day shir, started day the two-way shir, is to say Divrei Torah on the parasha. That means people are busy either with their business or even people are sometimes being ma'ayin so much in Gemara they don't have time to find a nice geshmak avot on the parasha. So what happens is they find that somebody else should come on Friday and say some nice Divrei Torah on the parasha and look it through all the different svarim, Maron Shel Torah and others, the Ramban, to go through the svarim and to find nice Divrei Torah on the parasha. And there is a certain truth to that. People are busy, and people don't know how it's nice. And what happens is there's a certain Divrei Torah that people have heard. People sometimes look for new Divrei Torah, new inspiring ideas. And that itself is Ephesus. It is a job of some sort. But I'd like to suggest that that's not really what we're doing here. I'll tell you why it's important to understand. Is I feel many times Friday night, fathers sit down by the Shabbos table and they say Divrei Torah on the parasha. And again, one could ask, what are they doing? And again, you could say the same answer. The wife is usually not able or too busy to be able to find the correct Divrei Torah to say. And the children sometimes have not got it. So what happens is, the father finds a Divrei Torah sometimes during the Chunuch Ananor. And what happens is, he says a Divrei Torah on the table. And again, I feel that it's misunderstood the Torahs. Nowadays, we're all quite computer proficient. There's a thing in the computer, in Microsoft Word, that you can do copy-paste. What you do is Control-C, you copy, and then you do Control-V, you paste it on something else. You copy something and you put it on somewhere else. It's like, sometimes you get the feeling, even sometimes it's a proper drasha, that somebody has just copy-pasted, he's like photocopied certain ideas which he's seen, heard, thought, and pasted it on, and he's done his job. And I mean, hopefully by drashas one hears it less, but certainly Friday night it happens a very lot. You can sometimes go somewhere, father says, and the parasha this week is Truma, and the question is this, and the answer is that, and everybody sits there at the list of the dote, he said his question, he said his answer, and he feels, I'm a good father, I said a Divrei Torah on the parasha, I copy-pasted a Divrei Torah on the parasha. And that's not really the point at all. I mean, it's nice, again, I'm not chas v'shalom going to say that it's no good. But that is not the Tehillah over here. It's not what we're looking for. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a Mishigas that people like to put copies of big Pashkevil and big papers up all the time. It's a very common thing. Anybody who's got any smallest issue, big notices, wherever they can. Every so often they're annoying, sometimes they're nothing, but sometimes they've got something to say. Years ago, I was in Kiryat Sefer. And somebody put, copy-pasted some words from Shai Tshuva Ben Yonah. He didn't even add anything to it. He just took some words from Ben Yonah and Shai Tshuva, made them very, very big, and copied and put them on all the signs and all the shuls. And it made an impression on me. Months later, somebody was actually speaking about Rabbi Yoni, and he quoted these words, and I remembered the words from This Big Science. So interesting, Rabbi Yoni. And then again, Rabbi Yoni's words are, I try and say a few over words, but he's talking there in Shaar Sheni about somebody who hears Torah and Musa, and the importance of listening to Torah and Musa. Now we would understand, can you hear me, is this working? We would understand that the job of hearing words of Torah is simply an action of sitting down and listening and hearing, that's enough. So Ben Yoni in Shaar Sheni Sifchavon, he says, a person who hears Musa, he has to be ma'over himself and to put the words onto his heart, to constantly think about them, to add his own ideas, and from his heart should come out to new words, and to be misbraided in the deep depths of his heart, what's going on, and to repeat them, and to turn them around in his mind, and not to rely on what he heard. And he goes on this vein. Don't rely on what you heard. In fact, it's a pasuk in Mishli, right at the beginning of Mishli, Shlomo HaMelech is about to tell you Chochma. He says, Yishma Chochom v'Yosef Lekach. A Chochom hears, and he adds wisdom. I once heard of something like this. If a person does not add wisdom, it's a proof that there was never a Yishma Chochom. Yishma Chochom Yosef Lekach. A Chochom, when he hears something, he adds other wisdom to what he heard. And if he hasn't added other wisdom, then there's been no Yishma Chochom. The Chochom hasn't heard anything. And this is the words of Rabbi Yoni, which he says very clearly. Don't rely on what you heard. You've got to add, and you've got to come up with new ideas, and repeat, and change. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, at the beginning of Tehillim. Ki b'seiras Hashem cheftzoi, u'b'seirosoi yege yimon v'loilom. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah asks the question, what does it mean? K'seiras Hashem cheftzoi, u'b'seirosoi his Torah. Is it the Torah of Hashem, or is it one's own Torah? Is it Torah Hashem, or is it your Torah? And the Gemara says, in the beginning it's Hashem's Torah, but then afterwards it is your Torah. That means, a person when he hears a Dvar Torah, it has to become his. And once it is his, then he can say it over. If a person sits Friday night by the table and he copy-pastes it via Torah, it means he says, I've got kasha, I've got Torah, it's his own. And he hasn't added anything, there's been no Yishma Chochom, he's done very little of his job. Now, not always is it possible for a person to come up with a whole new idea of his own. Not always so easy. But there has to be some sort of himself in the vort. There has to be sirosoi. There has to be something of himself in the idea. Every person, especially a father who's sitting five down by the table, should have by then many different feelings and thoughts he's gone through life. Right? All his own ashkofas of life, his own feelings about life. And it's his feelings towards the Dvar Torah and how he evaluated the Dvar Torah can make a huge difference to how he says the Dvar Torah. And when he says Tevosoi, his Torah, he's actually giving, he's teaching something. Obviously, he's not expecting a person to come up with his own Dvar Torah, but if a person hears a Torah and he comes and thinks about it. I remember I used to have an afternoon kolam, we learned Halachas Shabbos. Had it for a few years. And it was a tkufa, we learned Halachas Muktzah, so I used to give chabos. So I wanted to give a chabon Halachas Muktzah. I worked very hard at it, it was only a small kolam. And afterwards, I said to somebody, dude, so how did you enjoy the chabon? So I never understood it. Now, if you have a small chabur and you've worked hard, it is very disappointing. And you could see the disappointment, obviously, on my face. And he said to me that I enjoyed very much how you enjoyed your shayla, your chakira. That's your chakira, your smukta. I came to another time where it was. I could see you were enjoying the chakira. I don't know if he made it better, but that's where they actually felt it true. But he made the big nachab, I still remember his words. The vort is like this. He saw a certain enthusiasm for that idea. That's all he got from it. But for that, or something. I think, he b'seiras Hashem cheftzoi. If a person shows his desire, b'seirosu yegeyim avololo, it's ready his Torah. Sometimes a person can fight it out. Says, the Mesh Chochma asks the Kasha, the Mesh Chochma says the Torah, and that's it. That's what. He said, there's a miracle question from the Mesh Chochma, a fascinating idea. Even if he hasn't added anything, that itself, he's shown this episode something to do with his Torah. I say this is very important as akdama to what I'm trying to do every Friday, and what every person, the chayyah, should be trying to do every time he says a Dvar Torah. I get very upset sometimes, go to hear a drasha, It's mamish a situation of copy paste. You think to yourself, like, what's he done? I can look it up myself. Forget. About I'm not chashom. A person looks for dvatera, defines it dvatera. Especially, it's a wonderful thing. But if a person has to look for a way, if a person sits coming up to Pesach and Purim, a person talks to his children. There has to be sirosi. There has to be something from his own Torah. He has to show something of it. He can add his own idea and experience in life, which connects to the Dvar Torah, what he learned from the Dvar Torah. So I think a very important message, as a hakdama to what we're trying to do. Bemis Parshas Truma is not an easy parsha to speak about. I don't know how many of you have looked at Dvar Torah for your children. I saw one of the great Shlishchichs points out it's a murdika thing, that there's only 31 psukim describing the whole of Briyas HaOlam. 31 psukim, I haven't counted, I rely on it. 31 psukim, you can check yourself. He says there's almost 10 times as many on the creation of the Mishkan. It's an unbelievable thing. The Mishkan didn't last very long. Imagine it lasted a few months, had they not done the Chet and Meraglim, they would have gone straight to Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis Hamikdash. Even in Shiloh, they never used the Yevius of the Mishkan. They built a wall not out of the Yevius. We're never going to build a Mishkan again. I mean, the difficulty is as follows, that the Mishkan seems to be something which, what can we learn from? It's not a mitzvah that we can keep even. But the fact is that the Torah goes on and on and on to telling us the details of it. And the answer must be that there are messages and lessons from it. And that's what we have to examine. The Rechaim HaKadosh, they say in school, the Rechaim HaKadosh is for Yirat Shemayim, so I say welcome to Rechaim HaKadosh. The Rechaim HaKadosh says, Yirat Shemayim is not an easy thing to get. He says like this, he says that the Torah goes in a list, Zov, Kesef, the Choshes, gold is the most expensive, and silver, and copper, Schilis is just wool. So it goes from the most valuable to the least valuable. And finally it finishes off with Avnei Shoyav, Avnei Miluim. Now, Avnei Yishoyim and Avnei Miluim were worth millions. The Gemara and Avodah Zarah, those did the daf just saw, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dinari zav went into one Avnei Yishoyim. We're talking about phenomenal sums of money, all the money in the world, and yet it is mentioned the last. Now, Chaim HaKadosh gives a number of answers, but the main message is there was a lack of the diva slave. Either the Nesim bought it at the end, a certain feeling of superiority that they would give whatever anybody else doesn't, therefore there was a lack of the diva slave. Or they came with Anani Akovah, that means that the Anonim bought them, the clouds bought them. There was no diva slave. Which Feinstein points out, I mean, the words the diva slave come up in the creation of the Mishkan dozens of times, the div lave. If you look in the parasha, just the literal translation, I mean, saying Mish Feinstein says this, but say, look at the Lashon of the Pasuk, Dabla B'nei Yisor. Take a truma from those that have a nediva slave, from somebody who wishes to give, from somebody who wants to give a present to Hashem. Somebody who had no nediva slave, don't take a truma from him. If somebody wasn't interested, somebody didn't have the desire, the feeling, I want to give to Hashem, don't take anything from him. I don't want his truma. There was a study done by behavioral scientists, a fascinating study. They were collecting for a charity of an animal shelter farm in America. Animal shelter, they look after animals or not. Well, and they needed money. So what they did was like this. These scientists, they spent a lot of energy with this. They sent a group of volunteers into a wealthy neighborhood, knocking on every door, asking for $50. $50. Was a wealthy neighborhood, and they got approximately 30% of the population gave them $50. They then went to another similar kind of neighborhood, and what they did was they asked the volunteers to go around and to give every household just one can of Coke, a small can of Coke, a week before they went collecting. And they said, this is from the animal shelter farm to thank you for past and future help. One can of Coke, which was worth less than a dollar. And they gave it to all the households. And then a week later, they came collecting, and they doubled and more the amount of people that gave them $50. And they came up with an idea that, this is going for you, that next time you need a favor, don't think about somebody that can give you a favor. Think of somebody that you could do a favor for, because then you'll feel indebted. And then that way you can then twist, then he'll feel bad and he'll give it to you. A modic idea that if you want to get something, the best way is to make people indebted towards you. And that you should look in your life, who can you make indebted to you? If a boss can send his worker home early because he's got a toothache, he'll then make more money, because if you work it out in cheshbon, that's what I started out. The amount of cost it costed them on the cans of Coke was nothing compared to the amount of money they made from the extra donations. It was a huge profit, it was a tremendous success. So if you see that even if you make somebody smally indebted towards you, you can then gain a very, very lot. And that was something they came up with all kinds of theories, how to do this, and how to get people indebted, and how to get more money. And chachal b'kei in time, and it works. And that's why the moisters were the leader, but they make an evening buffet, and if you have a lechaim, and you collect, and you give money, you're going to give more than if you haven't had a lechaim. Even though lechaim might only be worth, I don't know how much it's worth, 50 pence, you end up giving extra 10 pounds, it's worth it for them. And what happens is nowadays you get signs, be cholent and shvom and everything that you could possibly imagine. And I'm not the askeira, I'm not involved, but it disturbs me terribly, I have to admit. I've got no tainus on the moisters. The moisters, the mice, at the end of the day, need the money. And the moisters have to fight every way to get the money. If it works, it works. But when you stand outside of the shul, you see the notice board. Every sign offering you, every shvama, every raffle, from 2,000 to tens of thousands of pounds. The reality is like this. They're trying to create a certain feeling of indebtedness. In order, they should give more money. But how about the person waking up in the morning and feeling indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's healthy? Or coming home and seeing his bank account details and seeing that he's got money, he should feel indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's got healthy children, feeling indebted to Hashem. And then giving it mitoch nedivos lev. I actually was going in a moment in this Erech Haim HaKadosh. People gave, the Avdei Shoyam gave millions, literally millions. And those who gave tcheles, wool, were not even worth what copper was worth. But in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, they were much more precious than tcheles. We must remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need our money. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give billions and billions of dollars to people like Bill Gates and others, he could make it that tomorrow morning, today, there will not be a moisted in the world that doesn't have enough money to start throwing as much as they want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no shortage of money. But he doesn't want money. He wants our nedivos lev. He wants us to feel a nedivos lev towards him. If a person gives money more because he had a lechaim, then what he's saying is, my indebtedness to the lechaim is greater. I mean, let's say for Tumcha Shabbos, nobody knows how much you give to Tumcha Shabbos, although I've never seen any donors for them. And for them, you give, let's say, 10 pounds. And then you go to a buffet and you give 20, 50. Or for a raffle ticket, you pay 100, because there's a chance I might win 100,000. Then what you're saying is, my chances of winning are more important to me than my indebtedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means the devil slave is very, very lucky. It's established, we pointed out, that the Rosh Hashanah is mistaken whether you're allowed to use mice money for hagrolas, for lotteries. And Chaim Kadyeskin Derech Emunah writes, it's completely forbidden. Completely forbidden. Even Moshe says it depends whether there's any real value to the prize. Okay, I'm not getting into that halacha shepoy. That's not my point over here. I'm talking about the nedivos lev shepoy. After we explain them what a tremendous lack of nedivos lev. Imagine a person gives money to his moisher, he sends his children. And at the end of the month, let's say they ask for 500, he gives them 1,000. Because he wants to show that there will be no plaques for him, there's going to be no extra lechaims. That is the nedivos lev. He's aware that his child is in a school and she tries to teach his children Torah. That's the nedivos lev. What kind of the nedivos lev is it that for such a thing he won't give, but to win some money he'll give more money? If it's explaining in this Erech Haim HaKadosh, it is something which a person, we should feel indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the indebtedness. Again, I've got no ties b'chal on the moisters. They need the money. They're doing their shtadlus. No different from knocking on people's doors. But when a person looks outside the shul and sees all the signs, the chayva person should feel a sense of shame that this is the way that it works. Somebody told me, somebody I know, that went to the Baal Shiva last week, Motzei Shabbos, gave the money, didn't take a raffle ticket. God said, I'm giving it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving it to Torah. Nice, the reality is most people don't win raffle tickets. It's a ploy. But you see how the goyim you're using it, the kind of cope we feel indebted. Okay, that's every person can decide themselves. I'm just saying my hergosh, my tirosim, my chetzim. There's a very lot of vayonis in this week's parsha. These parshas, you end up with very lot going into the thoughts behind it, as we said, because there's not many halachas. We're not going to be building a mishkan again. One of the interesting things to look into is the Mor Nevuchim. The Mor Nevuchim actually goes a very, very lot into the mishkan. I'm going to say it's not such an easy safer to access. People don't look at it so much. I'm going to say just two short ideas from the Mor Nevuchim. Santa ideas. It's something to think about. It's interesting that the Kodesh HaKadoshim was in the Ma'arav, was in the west. The further west you went, the more Kodesh it became. You went to the Chotzer, then you went into the Moed, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was even further west. The further west you went, it was more Kodesh. It was also like that in the Beis HaMikdosh. The further west you went, the more Kodesh. You came to the Azot, Kodesh HaKoyanim, the Ulam, and eventually you came all the way to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, further west. It says the Mor Nevuchim, it's a Santa idea. It says in the olden days, everybody kimat served the sun. You must remember, I mean, saying, when people looked for a god to serve, what gives us the most, is no question, is the sun. In England, unfortunately, we don't get much of the sun. But even so, the bit of sun that we get, we wouldn't live without it for a moment. The sun gives us warmth. It gives us light. It gives us food cannot grow without sunlight. The sun has the most influence on our lives over all other things. So when they looked around to think to themselves, who do they owe the most gratitude to? Who is the one they should serve? They all serve the sun. And therefore, east was the way to bow down, says the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam. Everybody bowed down to the east. That's what they did. That's what you see in many Makkos. There's many rise to those. Even the Chazal talk about that they used to shamash, and they used to have certain results just dedicated to the sun. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he told us to build the Mishkan, told us to make it more Kaddish towards the west. To show that we turn our backs to the sun, because we are not interested in what the goyim believe. We believe in what Shmuel was in charge. It'd be like nowadays, turning away from Wall Street or from the monies, from the banks, and serving Hashem. It's the Santa Rayon, it's Santa Machshava of the Rambam. That the reason why it became more Kaddish to the west is because all the goyim turned to the east to serve the sun, which was the most powerful being they could see. Like nowadays, money is the most powerful being we think we can see. And therefore, we turn around for that, we bow to the west. It's a Santa idea. Another idea, it says, a much deeper idea, again, one has to think about it, is that it's a Santa, that one thing that Yiddishkeit has over all other nations is the concept that there's no idols and no physical being towards Hashem. That means, the Torah reminds us many times, you looked in Shemayim, you didn't see Pesel or Tumunah, there's no images of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechla. And yet in the Kodesh HaKadoshim there were Kruvim, which is a very, very strange thing if you think about it. Very, very, very strange thing. What was the Kruvim, which is a graven image, doing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? You see how, if you look in Rashi, in the end of Parshas Yisroel, if you look at the Pasuk there, it says, Don't make a Leizlov, a Leichesev, a Leisasuri Modi, and Rashi explains it's all referring to the Kruvim. Don't make four kruvim, don't make the kruvim out of silver, don't make the kruvim in your own shuls. The kruvim was a very, very big chiddush, and in the chabay lechidusha, you couldn't do more than the kruvim. So then why did we have kruvim? The kruvim lechay is against everything that we hold dear, that you don't have images of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chlal. So he says that a big chilek in the munas Hashem is in the munna of melachim. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu has melachim. He has melachim that serve him. And he goes there to explain a little bit what's the te'elas of the lochim. That means the Derech Hashem goes in his way. If you look at the Derech Hashem, it's easier to understand his language. The Derech Hashem says like this, but there are two main tafkidim for the malochim. One, he says, is like this, is that a person who was makia malach had a deeper appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happens is, we don't really have such appreciation because we don't see malochim. For example, if somebody who saw the stars and really appreciated the greatness of the stars has a better appreciation of the greatness of Hashem who created the stars. A person who saw a malach had a deeper appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the malachim. Furthermore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so great, is so great, that he had no connection to this world. He had to make, it's like there's a very powerful engine, where you have to have something where it's connected to the being. There has to be some sort of, like sometimes they have a clutch or something to be able to gently connect. The Malachim's tafkid is to be able to take the Koach Elyon and let it go through them to this world. Okay, it's interesting to think about the Kruvim. What were the Kruvim doing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? There's other ideas of what the Kruvim were doing. Bemis, one of the biggest, the Chazal say the Kruvim were Ma'urim, Zebel said. They were embracing each other, which is the epitome of Gashmius in this world, of a physical being embracing his wife. One of the biggest struggles that every religion has is how to balance this world and the next world, the physical world and the spiritual world. And many have come into the mistake of saying that we have to negate the physical world. We're not interested in it whatsoever. And many have gone into the situation of forget to embrace it as an ideal in itself. Klal Yisrael's chokhmah is that Olam Hazeh is not to be negated, it's to be used and utilized to serve Hashem. And that's why in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's Bikruvim Ruin Zeh Bo Zeh, that the idea that everything, even that, can be used to come closer to serve Hashem. Okay, I've got a lot to say, we're running out of time. I just want to be at least it's in Santa ideas, you can look it up. It's very, very interesting to look into. There's a Santa story which is brought that. It's a famous story, but it's a very nice and nice to serve the Shabbos table. It's brought down in Yeruchim Emir, and what he brings down from Moshe Chagiz, or the big Dodim in Sfas. And Santa's story, you see, that there was once a Yid who was chased away from Portugal in 1497, 5 years after the Spanish expulsion, the Portuguese expelled us from Portugal. And he came to Sfas, and there was a Rav there, big town Chochem, who spoke once on Shabbos morning, Pashas Trumo, about the Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim, he said, what a beautiful present was that for the Shporchu. It was sieved 13 times to get the finest flour, and it would make out of it very, the bread would smell fresh after a week, and it was a korban to Hashem, and he said, oh, now we don't have it anymore. And this Yid was a very posh Yid, there's no such thing as a posh Yid, as we'll see from the story, but he didn't have an appreciation, he didn't really realize what the Rav was saying. So he thought the Rav was saying, there's no lechem, there's no bread for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said, he came back to his wife, and he said, we are going to provide it. And he told his wife to get the best flour. And she spent ages sieving it and making it the tastiest challah that she could make. And he took two challahs every Friday afternoon. And he put it in there next to the oven. And he would daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you don't have any more the lechem upon him. So now I'm going to provide it. And he daven to Hashem that Hashem should have nachas ruach from it. And what happened was the gabba would come in to set everything up for Shabbos, and he smelled shmack a smell and everything, and he went and he took the chalas for himself. And when he came Friday night, this onus, this yid, who was run away, he came to shul, and he saw the chalas were not there. He assumed that Shvorcho had taken it, and he felt tremendous joy. He came back to his wife to tell her, your chalas were accepted by Hashem himself, and it was a tremendous simcha for him, and he decided to do it every week, and he used to do it every week. And once the Rav was there Friday afternoon, he was preparing his drosha. And what happened was, he sees this person coming with the challahs. He asks him, what are you doing? And he explains to him that he wants to give a present to Hashem. There's no lechem upon him. And the Rav makes fun of him and shouts at him, you're a fool, because don't you realize Hashem's not a physical being? Hashem doesn't eat bread, bechlal. You're making a huge mistake. Your emunah's incorrect. And what happened was, when the gabbai came in, he said to the gabbai, I forced you to admit. And the Gabbai admitted, indeed, that he's been taking it himself, and he's been eating it every Friday night. And he said, see, it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's the Gabbai. And what happened was, as he was talking, the Arizal sent a messenger to him, that by tomorrow, the time you normally speak, you won't be alive anymore. So make sure to write your tzavor today, you've got no chance of living, because you should know. He said, what did I do so wrong? That since the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never had so much nachas ruach. That's the lashon of Moshe Chagiz. They had not as much nachas ruach from lechem, like he had from this person's lechem, from this person's chalas. The more the Gemara, one can elaborate about the gadlus we see of a person coming with a nediva slave. Indeed, the present wasn't so big. But there was a nediva slave over here. A person wants to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He felt indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very happy. Again, it doesn't need the bread, obviously. We're going back to the earlier. Okay. It's an interesting Gemara in Horius, an unbelievable Gemara. Gemara Yishalmi in Horius. We all know that the Kroshim had specific places around the Mishkan. They actually had numbers on, and which side they were, whether the northern side, the western, the southern side, they had numbers and where exactly it was. The Gemara Yishalmi, the end of Horius, says as follows. There was once two Amoraim who used to go and visit the Nasi every single day. Imagine to go to the Nasi to talk Torah, to get a bracha. And what happened was they had a certain order. One went in first, and then the second one went in. And by here, it was suddenly that the second one went and he married the daughter of the Nasi. And what happened was, they came to ask the Shlokish, now that he's a son-in-law of the Nasi, maybe he should walk in first. At the end of the day, he's a son-in-law of the Nasi. So therefore, that elevates his status. So the Shlokish asked Avichan, Avichan said, Chas v'shalom, how can you even say such a thing? Don't you know that the Koshim had a number, and the reason they had a number was that we don't change things. That a certain Imalim Bakridish when we read in, those who have a greater Kedusha, we don't change it. And what happened was that those who are greater stay greater, and those who are less greater, therefore the fact that he married the daughter of the Nasi does not give him the right to walk in first. In fact, it's interesting, the side halacha, that which we have a strip on the top of the talis to remember which part of the talis goes over our head, is brought down, the Magen Avraham brings it down, that we learn it from this week's parasha, from the Kroshim, that the fact that the Kroshim had a number, we have to make sure that the talis is on the right way, that the part that covers the head is not the same part. We shouldn't turn it upside down, because otherwise it's not the Malim Bapidish when we're reading. It's interesting, again, as a side point, that Rizal holds that's completely incorrect. Because he says there's no lesser Kedusha for the talis on the bottom, the talis on the top, because it's all a din beged, it's a din to wear clothes of Abba Kanfos. But the fact is, the fact that we are Makpid is only based on this Kroshim. So Avichai said to Mishlokish, Chas v'shalom, that they should change the order. We have the Kroshim give us an order, and we don't change things around. And the Gemara Yishami carries on, that they say that the two other Amirwoyim also had this order. One would go in first, the second would go in next. And then what happened was, the second one became a Talmud Chacham. Bigger Talmud Chacham than the first one. So they went back to Mishlokish, now what? The second one became a Talmud Chacham. Maybe the fact is, there was an order till now. So he went to ask Abirchnan, Abirchnan said, Yekor him ipninim, it's more Kaddish from the Kohen Gadol that goes in Yom Kippur, lifnai v'lifnim. And of course, the second one should go in first. Santos Gemor. Maral says that the holiest person in Kaddish is the Kohen Gadol, the most Kaddish Dika day is Yom Kippur, the most Kaddish Dika place is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the fact is, when the person learns Torah, Yekor him ipninim, it's more Kaddish than the greatest Kedusha of a person, the greatest Kedusha in Zman, the greatest Kedusha in Mokoyim. Torah is greater than all of it. When we learn Torah, please ask the Chashivos for the learning Torah that we do. How much we can fit in. Okay, I just have one word. I think it's a Moedic word. The end of this Rishvashah, we talk about Mizbeach HaChitzen. Mizbeach HaChitzen is very, very interesting. Rashi really points this out. That all the Kelim in the Mishkan were built and made and finished. They didn't create a new Shulchan every time. There was one Shulchan, that's it. A Mizbeach, that's it. Oh, and that's it. The Mizbeach HaChitzen was the exception to the rule. Whenever they set up camp, they would fill it up with earth, and then they would move away, they left the earth there, and they would fill up with more earth the next place. So in fact, if you walk around the Midbar now, you will find, if you knew how to look for it, piles of earth that were actually used for the korbanos. Unbelievable thing. And the obvious question is why? Why didn't they just make something which was full and finished, and that's it? It's a very important question. I once heard a vort, I think it's a murder vort like this, that the Akshvorach wanted to show Christ that every place you go to, you have to develop the Kedusha of that place. And that is the Avoida. The place the Avoida, we think to ourselves like this, Manchester, we're in Manchester, but yeah, it is definitely B'diyavad, L'chadchila, we should be in Yerushalayim. But the fact that Akshvorach put us here, we have to Mekadish the place that we're in. You move to this place, take the earth of that place, be Mekadish it. There's a Moedic Kazar Avom, it's unbelievable. He says like this, everybody says, Yiftach B'deir, Kishmur B'deir. So everybody understands that the leader of our generations, like Shmuel and his generation, the world we have today, whichever one a person goes to, that's the world thing. He says, but people would imagine, if it had Moshe Rabbeinu, it would be even better. It's not true. If Moshe Rabbeinu would be alive today, if Moshe Rabbeinu could give us a psak today, we couldn't follow him. Only if he was alive, them say, because then the Yiftach B'deir, Kishmur B'deir, we want the Yiftach now. I'm sure it's like this, of course Moshe is much, much greater than any leaders that we have, but to understand the Kedusha of the place that we are in, That's a murdek in the Kudah. It's a murdek at Machshav. That they had to be mekadesh each and every place. Go around the Mitzvah, you'll see a pile of earth there. Kadesh that Eli, wherever they went to, they had to be mekadesh that place. Yes, Mishchodesh Adar, Mishnechas Adar, Mavim, Simcha. I just want to say one or two short words on Mamish on the Megillah. So everybody knows, every child comes home, that Vashti came home with a tail. Vashti was meant to come to the party, she didn't, she had a tail and pimples. It's a nice geshmak of words in the sefer called Ginzei HaMelech. Why did she get pimples and a tail? He says like this, he says that she said to Achashverosh that Kali Sol are never going to come back to Yeshua, make a party. She said all kinds of Lashon Hor about Kali Sol. So she got Tzuras. Tzuras is the punishment for Lashon Hor. He said like this, furthermore, he says Vashti was a tremendously priestess-like woman. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu created animals with a tail, but human beings don't have a tail. Why not? Human beings are supposed to work upon themselves to dress with modesty. Animals don't have that option. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created a tail to cover themselves a little bit. They should have epas, some sort of tznius. But Vashti didn't have the tznius of human beings. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave her a tail to remind her that you're like an animal. You need to have help with your tznius. It's a very, it's a santa geshmak of what. Just say one, we always try to say something from Shir Hashim, say something from Shir Hashim to do with Megillas Esther. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashkiach b'nach haloinos, meitzis b'nach harakim. He looks through the windows and he peeps through the cracks. And the Vilna Gaon says the famous word that there's a big difference if somebody looks at you through the window and somebody looks through you through a crack through the wall. When he looks through a window, he looks at you and you can see him. When he looks through a crack, he sees you, but you don't see him. There are two kinds of anhogas. There's mashgiach b'nach haloinos, there's meitzis b'nach harakim. The time when there's Geula, Kadosh Baruch Hu looks through us, and we see him. Meitzis b'nach harakim, Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at us, but we can't possibly see him. The fact is, he's still watching over us. The word mashgiach nowadays is used in the yeshivas to describe somebody who helps the bochum shtaik. And it's a modika avoided to be a mashgiach. Know which kind of musa to say, which kind of musa not say. You can't tell a bochum for every little thing because it doesn't work. To know which time to use encouragement, which time to use criticism. To know how to direct. The greatest mashgiach that we have, the greatest mashgiach ever, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the prophet describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mashgiach nach aloinu is meitzim nach rakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our mashgiach. I was once with the driving Rav, and we got stuck in traffic. I was frustrated, very frustrated. And he was rushed. He said to me, Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to teach you a lesson in patience. He's your mashgiach. Imagine a person knows, goes with that machshava through his mind. Kadosh Baruch Hu mashgiach b'nach haloinos meitzis b'nach harakim. Sometimes we see his hashkocha, we see how he's ma'al mashgiach. Sometimes we're not always zeicher to see it. We go through experiences, sometimes a positive, some a negative, and somehow to shtag in one way. And it's a murder kavod that a person has to see his life. It's really going back a little bit to that word of the soil, that each place you have to mekadesh the place that you're in, the situation that you're in, you have to utilize it to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu put you in that place, he put us in Manchester, he put us in this situation. We have to work with what we are given and try and strive through that. That's the word to mashgiach nechalein. It's also a big nechama, that even if we can't see him, Kadosh Baruch Hu is still watching over us. We should all be zeichet to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hashkoch from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that should encourage us to feel a tremendous nedivus leiv, and thereby be zeichet to be nadiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the emesek in a good way, and we should be zeichet to feel simcha v'adol.
The most overworked word in any language, no one knows, don't you? Where it is.
Not given to the Jesus Lord.